WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A day after President Biden's trip to Tel Aviv, Israeli airstrikes are pounding Gaza, including areas in the south deemed safe zones. Correspondent MTS Tayyab has our top story.
Over the past 24 hours, 678 Palestinians have been killed in Israeli strikes, mostly women and children, including at the northern Jabalia refugee camp, as rescuers desperately try to pull the youngest survivors from under the rubble.
Doctors say at least 12 people have been killed in an airstrike on a residential building in southern Khan Yunis. Egyptian humanitarian groups say they're waiting for the go-ahead from Israel to begin deliveries of humanitarian supplies to Gaza, agreed to during meetings with President Biden yesterday. Mr. Biden's back at the White House, where he will deliver a primetime speech to the nation tonight on his trip to Israel. Middle East analyst Dan Revive.
It's emotional for him, and he plans to link it with aid to Ukraine. The administration is going to ask Congress to approve maybe even $100 billion for Israel and Ukraine, so that Republicans who are reluctant to help Ukraine are not reluctant to help Israel, and maybe they'll have to swallow the whole package.
2 weeks and still no speaker in the House of Representatives. Republicans will hold a third vote on Jim Jordan's bid a day after he lost the support of two more members of his own party. The GOP's Mike Lawler says it's time to make way for an interim leader.
There is not consensus, clearly, on who the next speaker should be. And so in the immediate, we need to get back to work. We need to allow Patrick McHenry to do the job as Speaker pro tem with the authority to govern.
The number of people who signed up for unemployment benefits last week dropped to its lowest level in 8 months. Still, economists are worried the tide could turn because layoffs have been rising. Scotland is bracing for dangerous weather.
Storm Babette has been making its presence felt.
The weather report's warning of risk to human life.
The Met Office has its highest level of warning, the red warning, for heavy rain.
High winds and heavy rain expected to cause severe flooding and deadly conditions on Scottish roads for 2 days. People in the worst affected areas warned to stay at home. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
Engineers at UC San Diego say they've created an experimental vaccine that could prevent lung cancer from spreading. CBS's Michael George.
Doctors say the vaccine doesn't eliminate tumors, but rather prevents new tumors from forming and spreading. It's only been tested on mice, and more safety studies are needed before human trials can begin.
S&P futures up 7. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Jim Gaffigan here.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Democrats are reintroducing the Mental Health Care is Healthcare legislation package in an effort to improve mental health care access for universities of Wisconsin students. The package failed to pass the assembly in 2021, but would have provided about $10 million in funding to improve staffing, training, operations, and bolster student health services at the universities. The bills would also promote mental health access in K-12 schools. The man charged with bringing a gun to the Wisconsin Capitol on two occasions in the same day was arrested again this week. 43-year-old Joshua Plesnick was charged with carrying a concealed weapon and was booked in the Dane County Jail. Earlier this month, Plesnick was charged with bringing a loaded handgun into the Capitol while looking for Governor Tony Evers, then returning to the Capitol after posting bail with an assault-style rifle. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons, like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at Interscholastic Athletic Events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be. Let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be. And when the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, let it be. For though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see. There will be an answer. Let it be.
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 Reyes, Let It Be. That's a brand new version of that song. Did you recognize the voices and the instrumentation? Well, you probably recognize Dolly Parton's voice, right? That's a song from her new album, her version of Let It Be. And I guess now that she's 77 years old, she is officially a rock and roller, because she's got quite a lineup on this album. And in fact, on that version of Let It Be, you probably recognized Paul McCartney's voice, right? Singing along with Dolly. Well, Paul was also playing bass on that song. Who do you think was playing drums? If you said Ringo Starr, you're correct. She has the two remaining, the two surviving Beatles playing on that song with her. Of course, for those of you who were too young to know, that was a big hit for the Beatles back around 1970. And it was their last big hit, by the way. And did you recognize the guitar solo? Did you recognize that guitar? A pretty distinctive sound. That was Peter Frampton playing guitar on that song. And also, as if having McCartney and Ringo Starr and Peter Frampton on your record isn't enough, she also had Mick Fleetwood from Fleetwood Mac playing percussion. So a great new version of a great old song from Dolly Parton and the remaining Beatles, Peter Frampton, Mick Fleetwood. Hey, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. 12 minutes after 9 o'clock right now, it is 44 degrees in Richland Center and 48 degrees in Eau Claire. And the next thing I want to get to here is what happened yesterday. I hope you got to see some of this. And first, let me ask you, what do you think would be happening right now if Donald Trump were president concerning the crisis in Israel, the crisis in the Middle East? How would he be handling the situation? It's kind of hard to imagine what could be happening. But fortunately, we have a man in the White House who understands the significance of the president of the United States and how the president can make a difference in what happens around the world. Joe Biden yesterday went into Israel. He went into a war zone. And he wanted the people of the world to know that the United States stands with Israel. But he also wanted the people of the world to know that it's important for Israel to contain its emotion at this very emotional time. And to give you some idea of what went on yesterday, I found a pretty good analysis in the Washington Post. And this piece has a headline that says, Biden in Israel hits notes of loyalty, emotion, and caution in an extraordinary moment. An 80-year-old president flies into a war zone. This piece was posted late yesterday by Matt Visser. It says, in an emotional speech carried live across Israel and around the world, President Biden sought to embody America's ties to the Jewish state with his own presence, channeling empathy, anger, profound loss, and bracing optimism. He reached deep into history, recounting the timelessness of Moses and lessons from the Torah. And he referenced more recent events, noting how the September 11th, 2001 attacks triggered, quote, shock, pain, rage, and all-consuming rage, end quote, among Americans. It was an extraordinary moment in Biden's tenure as the 80-year-old president landed in the midst of a region torn by violence and chaos in an effort to showcase America's loyalties, warn hostile actors, and perhaps underline his own fitness as commander-in-chief. He even reached into his own lengthy biography 50 years ago, the young Senator Biden was meeting with Golda Meir, the Israeli prime minister, and they were posing for pictures after she had shown him maps intended to demonstrate Israel's vulnerability on the precipice of the Yom Kippur War. Quote, "She said to me, 'Why do you look so worried, Senator Biden?'" Biden recalled in a story he's repeated often. "And I said, 'Worried? Like, of course I'm worried.' And she looked at me, she said, 'We don't worry, Senator. We Israelis have a secret weapon. We have nowhere else to go.'" End quote. Biden turned back to the present, He said, "Today I say to all of Israel, the United States isn't going anywhere either. We're going to stand with you. We'll walk beside you in those dark days. We'll walk beside you in the good days to come, and they will come." End quote. It was a remarkable moment at a remarkable time. Biden is the first American president or president to visit Israel at a time of war. There were unusual security challenges with reporters asked not to disclose real-time locations, and with air raid sirens blaring over Tel Aviv minutes after Biden's plane departed Wednesday evening. He was originally supposed to fly to Jordan and meet with Arab leaders, but that leg of the trip was canceled after a blast rocked the Al-Ahli Hospital in Gaza, prompting angry protests in the Arab world. Biden's aides saw the trip in part as a rebuttal to questions about his age. He was born about 6 years before the country of Israel and recounts events from 5 decades ago, and as a way to showcase the strengths of a president who prides himself on his foreign policy know-how. The president's trip also provided a split screen that Biden's supporters hope plays in his favor. On Wednesday, House Republicans again devolved into chaos after failing to elect a House Speaker, and Biden's leading 2024 opponent, Donald Trump, was in a trial over fraud allegations. Biden, after an overnight 10-hour flight, was in the country for less than 8 hours before a long flight back to Washington. 9:18, got to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Once upon a time there lived a man, many years ago in a foreign land. Knew how to live right, tried to be a light, gave everybody a helping hand. I'm gonna try to be that way, I'm gonna try to be that way. Do the kind of thing a man ought to do.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. my way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, look for a chance of rain, especially this afternoon. Otherwise, cloudy skies and a high near 59. For tonight, some fog and a low near 42. Friday, mostly sunny, 61 degrees. For Friday night, a few showers and mid-40s. Saturday, partly sunny and 56.
It's 48 at our studios.
That I am, I am, I am. Peter Tosh, born on this date in 1944, one of the original Wailers, for those of you that don't know that. Before, he and Bunny Wailer left the group, and Peter Tosh formed a new Bob Marley and the Wailers. You can look that history up if you want to. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 24 minutes after 9 o'clock now on this Thursday morning. We got 49 degrees in Amory, also 49 degrees in Hayward. And just before the break, we were discussing the trip yesterday by the President of the United States, Joe Biden, to Israel, flying into a combat zone, a dangerous place, and letting the world know that the United States stands by Israel, but also warning Israel not to let their emotions get the best of them. He said that reminding everybody that the United States made some mistakes after we were attacked in 2001. And I was going over a piece from the Washington Post. I left off here where it said Biden, after an overnight 10-hour flight, was in the country for less than 8 hours before a long flight back to Washington. The whirlwind visit had some of the hallmarks of his surprise visit or his surprise trip to Kyiv earlier this year, when he sneaked into the war-torn country in the middle of the night and was in the city when an air raid siren went off. It was also reminiscent of his trip last month to India and Vietnam, when he circumnavigated the globe in 4 days. Such trips can test the stamina of aides and reporters half his age. And Biden, too, sometimes appears to feel the impact. On Wednesday, his memory seemed to lapse as he recalled one of his most frequently cited quotes, which he attributes to Secretary of State Antony Blinken. And even though I'm not close to 80 years old, I know how that happens. Sometimes you're on a track and you're going to say something and then you kind of lose what you were going to say. But that happens as you get older. And here's the quote. When Biden stumbled a little bit, he said, he wrote a line that I think is appropriate. He said, it's not, we lead not just, well, I won't go into it. I'll wait until later. I'm taking too much time. Shortly after, he found the phrase. He said, it's just not the example of our power. It's the power of our example. End quote. The Israeli trip allowed Biden to showcase the power of the American presidency in dramatic fashion. He announced, for example, that his military had ordered 2 aircraft carriers, the USS Gerald R. Ford and USS Dwight D. Eisenhower, into the region. He sought to speak with authority. Quote, I've made wartime decisions. I know the choices are never clear or easy for the leadership. There's always costs, but I caution this. While you feel that rage, don't be consumed by it. End quote. Other portions of the trip were quintessential Biden. He quoted an Irish poet, William Butler Yeats. He referenced a Hebrew saying, though not in the original, saying, I'm not going to attempt to do it because I'm such a terrible linguist. End quote. He spoke of the difficulty of losing a loved one, as he often does, but with added context for a Jewish audience, saying, I know you feel like there's that black hole in the middle of your chest. You feel like you're being sucked into it. The survivor's remorse, the anger, the questions of faith in your soul, staring at that empty chair, sitting Shiva, the first Sabbath without them. End quote. Got to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned into your local Civic Media radio station.
CBS News Brief. Palestinians in northern Gaza pulling trapped children from the rubble after an Israeli airstrike targeting Hamas. British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak visiting Tel Aviv on the heels of President Biden's trip.
The Palestinian people are victims of Hamas too. And that is why I welcome your decision yesterday that you took to ensure that routes into Gaza will be opened for humanitarian aid.
With support for Jim Jordan fading, there are calls for an interim leader in the House of Representatives, New York Republican Mike Lawler.
We need to get back to work. We need to allow Patrick McHenry to do the job as Speaker pro tem with the authority to govern.
Parts of Scotland are bracing for dangerous flooding. CBS's Vicky Barker.
A rare red weather alert is in effect in several areas, with warnings that road conditions could turn lethal.
Denmark could see its worst flooding in 110 years. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Thank you.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin State Senate passed a bill on Tuesday to force state wildlife managers to set a firm numeric goal for the state's wolf population. Prior to the introduction of the bill, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources refused to implement a hard goal, arguing that not implementing a population limit would give them more flexibility in addressing wolf population concerns. The bill, which calls for a statewide population limit of 350 animals, will now head to the State Assembly. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services has received nearly $17 million in federal funding to enhance operations of the 988 Wisconsin Lifeline. The service answers calls, texts, and chats to the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline program. The additional funding will build the 988 Wisconsin Lifeline workforce, strengthen connections between the service, 911 centers, and county programs, and raise awareness of the service through statewide advertising and outreach efforts. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Falling down to this earth.
it is the sweet sounds. Sweet sounds of heaven. The Rolling Stones. From that album that's going to be coming out tomorrow called Hackney Diamonds. It's their first album of new music. Quite a few years. I think it's like 16 years or something. 18 years. Something like that. But there are quite a few special guests on this record. And did you recognize the female vocalist on that song, Sweet Sounds of Heaven? If you said Lady Gaga, you're correct. And I'm not a big Lady Gaga fan, but I would have to say that she never sounded so good, as far as I've heard, as she does on that song. Also on this album, Elton John, Paul McCartney. Hey, didn't we just hear Paul McCartney singing with Dolly Parton a little while ago? He's all over the place these days. Also on this album, Stevie Wonder. I believe that was him playing piano on that song that we just heard. And for the first time in 30 years, Bill Wyman, longtime bass player with the Stones, the original bass player for all those years, back with the Stones playing on this record. First time in, 30 years, it says. And yeah, it does look like the last album by the Stones of new material was in 2005. So what's that, 18 years? That was the Bigger Bang album. And also on this album, the new Stones album being released tomorrow, the final couple of tracks featuring Charlie Watts, drummer for the Stones. Man, sounds like it's going to be a great album. In fact, it is getting pretty good reviews. Very good reviews from what I've seen so far. Music from the Rolling Stones getting us back into the Stu Daniels Show on a Thursday morning. It's 51 degrees in La Crosse right now and 49 degrees in Richland Center. And I do have some breaking news to get to in a few minutes concerning another co-defendant in the Georgia voting interference case of Donald Trump. Another co-defendant of his pleading guilty. This is breaking news. We'll get to that in just a few minutes. Before we do, I want to finish this story from the Washington Post about the president's visit yesterday to Israel. A remarkable visit, a remarkable trip. Extraordinary for an 80-year-old president to fly into a combat zone like that, show support, offer words of encouragement and caution. And I'll finish this piece here from the Washington Post. It says he, the president, met Israeli first responders and families affected by the Hamas attack, something that Netanyahu has faced criticism for being too slow to do. God love you, he told one survivor. He also met a young woman who had saved people in her kibbutz and hugged her after hearing her story through an interpreter. At one point, Biden could be heard recounting the story of when his wife and children were injured in a car accident. In fact, they weren't just injured. His wife died and his daughter. He whispered throughout the visit with these relatives of people who are either dead or missing. He met with Inbal Lieberman, a 25-year-old woman who, as head of security, helped to organize the successful defense of her kibbutz. President Biden met a retired general, Noam Tibon, who drove south to save his son, Amir, and many others in their community. Netanyahu effusively welcomed Biden, greeting him at the airport and embracing him on the tarmac. Quote, I want to thank you for coming here today and for the unequivocal support you've given Israel over these trying times, said Netanyahu, whose relations with Biden have not always been friendly. He said, we see your support and your steadfast commitment to provide us with the tools we need to defend ourselves. End quote. Biden sought to use his presence and America's prestige to urge Israel to minimize civilian casualties. During a refueling stop at Ramstein Air Base in Germany, he made a rare trip back to the press cabin and told reporters that he had made progress on a 30-minute call with Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi. Egypt, he said, was going to help facilitate sending 20 trucks with humanitarian aid into Gaza. Biden cast the news as a capstone to the trip, recounting that there had been a lengthy debate about whether he should make the visit in the first place, with fears of potential failure. Quote, "Not many people thought we could get this done, and not many people want to be associated with failure," he said. "Had we gone and this failed, then, you know, the United States failed, the Biden presidency fails, etc., which would be a legitimate criticism. I thought it was worth taking the chance to get it done," he said. "I came to get something done. I got it done." End quote. President Joe Biden talking about his trip yesterday to Israel. 9:43, almost 9:44. Let's talk about the breaking news now. I got this at MSN.com. It is a story from ABC News. It says, Sidney Powell pleads guilty in Georgia election interference case. This is breaking news. Sidney Powell, one of 18 co-defendants in former President Donald Trump's election interference case in Georgia, is in court Thursday morning taking a plea deal in the case. She's pleading to 6 misdemeanor charges, according to the agreement read in court. She will get 12 months of probation for each count, as well as a $6,000 fine. The plea comes a day before she was scheduled to go on trial along with co-defendant Kenneth Cheesebro. As part of the plea agreement, Powell must, quote, testify truthfully about any co-defendants involved in the matter and provide all documents to the district attorney's office relevant to their case against the other co-defendants, according to Judge Scott McAfee. Powell is not to have any communication with any of the co-defendants in the case or members of the media. She will also have to write an apology letter to the people of the state of Georgia, which you have already satisfied, McAfee said. Powell, Cheesebro, Trump, and 16 others pleaded not guilty in August to all charges in a sweeping racketeering indictment for alleged efforts to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential election in the state of Georgia. Powell, a former Trump campaign attorney, is accused of helping tamper with voting machines in Coffee County. She's the second defendant in the case to strike a plea agreement after Scott Hall took a plea deal in which he pleaded guilty to tampering with voting machine equipment. So that's the breaking news out of Georgia, Sidney Powell pleading guilty, and now she's going to have to spill the beans. It'll be interesting to see what she has to say. 9:46, let's take a break. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Hell, my feminine to the twilight zone. This is the madhouse. destination unknown. Double-cross messenger all alone.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, look for a chance of rain, especially this afternoon. Otherwise, cloudy skies and a high near 59. For tonight, some fog and a low near 42. Friday, mostly sunny, 61 degrees. For Friday night, a few showers and mid-40s. Saturday, partly sunny and 56.
It's 51 at our studios.
Jesus for his mercy. We know when we understand.
Jah's a living man. You fool some people sometimes, but you can't fool all the people all the time. And now we see the light. We gonna stand up for our rights. Come on, get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Come on, our brothers, get up, stand up.
Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. It is music from Peter Tosh, his version of Get Up, Stand Up from his Equal Rights album. Peter Tosh, born on this date, October 19th, 1944. Hey, the next thing I want to get to is something we mentioned at the top of the show when I was going over the headlines. A family of four bobcats had been spotted in Adams County, just north of Wisconsin Dells. And whenever I see stories about bobcats, it always makes me want to see what's going on, because my college alma mater, the mascot, was a bobcat. Yep, at Ohio University in Athens, Ohio, we were the OU Bobcats. So whenever I see a story about bobcats, it piques my interest and makes me want to see what's going on. And evidently, bobcats are pretty common in Wisconsin, even though we don't see them very often. And it's because they're sneaking around at nighttime when nobody's looking. And I have a story here from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. This was just updated. It says 21 hours ago. It says a Milwaukee area man recorded four bobcats on a trail camera near his Wisconsin cabin. Milwaukee area resident David Tadachek spotted a wild surprise on his trail camera early Tuesday afternoon. A family of four bobcats on the property of his Adams County cabin in central Wisconsin. While Tadachek has seen bobcats on his trail cams before, he said it's unusual to see them during the day, especially in a group. He said, I did have a video a couple of years ago that had four in there too, but I think it's rare because I only see a group like that once every couple of years. Tadachek said he's also seen individual bobcats on his property in person. His quote, he said, I just think I got to make sure my cats are inside. He said lightheartedly, it's just something neat to see. So how common are the bobcats in Wisconsin? Well, according to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, bobcats, quote, evasive nature leads many to believe that this species is rare, when in fact, bobcats are quite common in Wisconsin, end quote. There are breeding populations of bobcats in both the northern and southern portions of the state. Most male bobcats make their home within a 25-mile range, while females roam about a 15-mile range, the DNR says. As of 2019, the DNR estimated 3,500 bobcats live north of Highway 64, while southern Wisconsin has a sizable number that is being closely studied. DNR fur bearer research scientist Nathan Roberts said in 2019 that enough is known of the species distribution in the state for him to say that bobcats are found in all 72 Wisconsin counties. The average bobcat weighs about 20 to 30 pounds. And despite their small size, bobcats are capable of taking down prey as large as adult white-tailed deer. So can you hunt bobcats in Wisconsin? Yes, you can. And you can trap bobcats as well, so long as you have the proper permit, and do so during bobcat season. Why would you want to kill a bobcat, though? That's my question. Applications for those hunting permits must be submitted to the DNR by the annual deadline, which this year was August 1st. The application fee for a bobcat permit is $6. And I would say if we want to raise some revenue, maybe that's a good place to start raising that bobcat fee a little bit. If it's only $6 to be allowed to kill a bobcat. Yeah, that's where we're going to end it for today. It's 9:58. Now, I hope you have a great day today. I hope you learned something during the show today. Do something nice for someone, and I'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock.
Bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events. Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons, like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.